Good morning. So good to see you all in here. I know some of us are under the weather, but it's great to have rain always here in Southern California. I pray that we all have a personal visit from the Holy Spirit and from God, that we may have an intimate fellowship, that we may hear the messages that God has prepared for all of us to hear this morning. It was the height of the war. The captain of the British ship was searching the North Atlantic for signs of the German Navy. Finally, up in the distance, he saw a German cruiser shelling a cargo ship. The first mate said to the captain, "Shall I summon the men to battle stations?" The captain looked up at the one-sided fray and indicated that nothing be done. He said, "That isn't sporting, but it is war." The German ship started to spray the ocean with depth charges. Soon an oil slick showed that a submarine had been hit. Still, the captain refused to order battle stations. As debris from the British submarine floated upward, the German captain raised his hand in victory and spat at the chunks of metal and wood. Seeing this, the British captain turned to his first mate and said, "Battle stations immediately." The first mate asked, "Why would you order them now?" The captain said, "When he sank a cargo ship, that was the misfortune of war. The destruction of our submarine was unfortunate, but part of the game. However, when he spits in our ocean, it's battle stations." It is true that wars are often ignited by very silly reasons. Let me give you a couple of examples. El Salvador played soccer with Honduras during the World Cup in 1969. Hondurans won the first match in Honduras. El Salvadorians won the second match played in El Salvador. After the game, upset Hondurans attacked El Salvadorians living in Honduras. El Salvador won the third match, but was still unhappy with Honduras for not taking action against crime committed against El Salvadorians. El Salvador, therefore, began attacking Honduras, and the two nations soon started the war that lasted 4 days. And a couple of thousands on both sides died, and around 300,000 El Salvadorians living in Honduras were injured. What started the war? A silly soccer game. Ensuing Mexico's independence from Spain in 1821, Mexico suffered civil unrest during which a pastry shop that belonged to a French chef was ransacked. The French owner asked the Mexican government to compensate for the damage. As his request was ignored, just a pastry shop, he appealed to the King of France, who demanded the Mexican government for the compensation. And the conflict led to a war that lasted 4 months in 1838. What started the war? A ransacking a pastry shop. And if you would allow me, I would even include Russia's invasion of Ukraine in the same category. It all started because of Putin's selfish ambition for world dominance. According to the New York Times, the total number of Ukrainian and Russian troops killed or wounded since the war began is nearing 500,000. Putin came to power in 2000, and because of the term limit, he was removed from the presidency in 2008, but still held on to power as the prime minister of Russia. He was re-elected president in 2012. The constitution was amended in 2020, which allows him to legally stay in office until 2036. The world has learned that he is the same as or the worst kind of a totalitarian leader than his predecessors during the communist era. Putin may want to remain in power, but history shows tyrants were disposed of their position tragically. Putin is not an exception to this principle and will lose his grip sooner or later. No rulers, either good or bad, escape the universal cycle of the rise and fall of nations. Speaking of the rise and fall of nations, the Bible covers not only the fates of Israel, but also some of the greatest nations in human history. The book of Daniel, in particular, covers four great empires. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel was Nebuchadnezzar II, who came to power in 605 BC after his father, Nabopolassar, died. He destroyed the Jerusalem temple and the city in 586 BC. Through military campaigns, he expanded the Babylonian territory and built wealth along with it. The Bible records that Nebuchadnezzar took all the treasures of the Jerusalem temple to Babylon. He was regarded as the greatest emperor of the Babylonian Empire and enjoyed prosperity over four decades. He restored the beautiful Easter Gate and built a great ziggurat, both of which remain today. One excellent example of his building project was the Hanging Garden of Babylon, which is regarded as one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. A tradition says that he built it for his wife, Amytis, to help her feel less homesick for the mountains of Media. It was a high-rise building of 75 feet and houses exotic shrubs, vines, and trees with water flowing at all levels. They invented water rising screws to pump water from the Euphrates to the upper level of gardens. As it was shown in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, he lived in the glorious days of a golden head. The Babylonian Empire ended when Cyrus the Great of Medes and Persia cleverly dug canals, diverted water to sneak into an enemy stronghold easily, and attacked the city of Babylon in 539 BC. Medes and Persian was the part that corresponded to the chests and arms of silver. An interesting observation is that all taxes were paid in silver during this empire. Daniel continued to serve the new king Cyrus the Great, who set free the Jewish exiles to return to their homeland and issue an edict to rebuild the Jerusalem temple. The third kingdom that belonged to the part of the belly and thighs of bronze was Greece. Alexander the Great succeeded his father Philip and became the king of Macedon in 336 BC and conquered Medo-Persia in 331 BC. Greece remained in power until about 186, and there are a lot of different opinions about the date. But Greek soldiers were called brazen coated, because they are because of their bronze armor. So, you know, interestingly, it was the part of belly and thighs of bronze in the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream. The fourth kingdom, with legs of iron and feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay, was Roman Empire. Romans began to conquer ancient Greece in 182 BC and definitively occupied the Greek world in 31 BC. Now, you know, this may be a little bit boring of the history lessons, but look at it. What caused the demise of those great empires? It's simply very, you know, it's easy to see. The demise was caused by wars, right? War caused the collapse of the Babylonian Empire, and the war caused the collapse of the Medo-Persian Empire, Greece Empire, and Roman Empire. Actually, history is filled with endless wars. In my personal opinions, and you know, you don't have to agree with me, but in my personal opinions, we are fighting, the whole world is fighting world wars. It is, to me, Third World War. It's a different kind of war that we saw, the history saw, during the First World War and Second World War. They were fought with the military weapons. And the Third World War is going the same, but a more sophisticated way. Russia and Ukraine are fighting on the surface, but most of the Western allies are united to support Ukraine. They may not send their troops to the actual battlefield, but are fighting Russia together indirectly. To me, this is a world war. So what do we see in the message, in the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar and the interpretation of the dream by Daniel? And what do we see in all through the history? The world is in turmoil always. The world is in turmoil always. Remember the word of Jesus in John 16:33? He said, I have said this to you. He talked about the imminent death, his, you know, death and suffering. That in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In the world you have tribulation. You know, in that very word, Jesus summarized how this human history runs. It's the continuation of tribulation after tribulation. That's how human history runs. Many of us mistakenly think that trouble-free condition and the absence of war are prerequisite for peace. According to Jesus, they are not. He says, despite trouble, you may see the tribulation after tribulations, but you still can get to enjoy peace that comes from me. That's what Jesus said. And one incident in history proves that what Jesus said is true. Peace during the First World War really happened on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day of 1914. The following is an article that I found from Times.com. British, Belgian, and French soldiers left their trenches and mingled with German soldiers during Christmas. It was a miracle, a rare moment of peace, just a few months into a war that would eventually claim over 15 million lives. Graham Williams of the 5th London Rifle Brigade described it in great detail. First, the Germans would sing one of their carols, and then we would sing one of ours, until when we started up, "O Come All Ye Faithful." The Germans immediately joined in singing the same hymn to the Latin words, Adeste Fideles. And I thought, well, this is really a most extraordinary thing. Two nations both singing the same carol in the middle of a war. The next morning, in some places, German soldiers emerged from their trenches, calling out, "Merry Christmas" in English. Allied soldiers came out worriedly to greet them. In others, German held up sign reading, "You no shoot, we no shoot." Over the course of the day, troops exchanged gifts of cigarettes, food, buttons, and hats. Christmas truce also allowed both sides to finally bury their dead comrade, whose bodies had lain for weeks on no man's land, the ground between opposing trenches. The phenomenon took different forms across the Western Front. One account mentions a British soldier having his hair cut by his pre-war German barber. Another talks of a pig roast. Several mention impromptu kickabouts with makeshift soccer balls, although contrary to popular legend, it seems unlikely that there were any organized matches. In the height of war, enemies found peace in Christ, even though it only lasted a couple of days. But this speaks the very truth that Jesus was talking about. In the world, you may have the tribulation. Actually, you do. But I give you my peace. You can have my peace regardless of the circumstances. The entire world has just come out of the pandemic, but it was not the end of our troubles. We are experiencing economic woes, wars, and natural disasters in many places. But what are we witnessing today is not new, but a repetition of history. An external peace in the world is hard to come by. But it is surely possible to have peace of Christ in our hearts that lasts in the midst of woes and wars. Let us look at our lives. Are we troubled by anything? Let us not be alarmed, for it is how our life runs, as Jesus indicated in his word. But the peace of Christ is ours to keep, regardless what is going on out there. May the Christ peace be with us now and forever. Amen.